This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Kyle was not an active shooter. That is a buzzword that the state wants to lash onto. Whenever Kyle was there, he reacted to people attacking him.
It's hard to look at, but this is what we're dealing with. When you fire an AR-15 at someone from close range, this is what it looks like.
18-year-old Kyle Rittenhouse is fighting for his life outside of a courtroom. Will he walk out of a courthouse or will he be incarcerated, perhaps for life? You heard the defense there and before that the prosecution talking about the ridiculousness of him being called an active shooter. Hey, everybody. Kate Delaney, a little slice of what we're all talking about in this country. So the judge in this case retired the jury for the evening just before 6 o'clock Central Time after the first day of deliberations in the trial of Rittenhouse. The 18 jurors who've been hearing the case started at 9 o'clock in the morning and then they continued on and deliberated throughout the day, you know, just taking the normal lunch break, if you will. And the jurors requested copies of pages 1 through 6 of the jury instructions in the morning and then requested copies of the rest of the 36 pages in the afternoon. So that could be interesting. I don't know. Is that a sign of what they were trying to figure out or look at? There were protesters outside the Rittenhouse trial with the jurors deliberating. So, you know, what does that ultimately mean with the protesters there and the fact that you've got the governor calling out the National Guard for fear of whatever the verdict will ultimately be? And will there be a verdict by the end of the week or not? And I think so much is focused on this because you look at what's happened to our lives in the last couple of years and you look at a kid going to this protest and then you look at descriptions and the back and forth and the tug of war over ultimately how this is seen through the eyes of the jury. And I think it's tough to tell. I said initially, listening to some of what the judge was saying, that it looked like to me that he was not going to that he would be acquitted. But I don't know. I'm looking at the facts. I'm looking at what the conversation seems to be from the bench. And I think it's fascinating to see, you know, the facts and look at the fact checking everything and looking at what ultimately they'll see in their eyes as the evidence. But there's definitely a lot of division in this country. And this is a case that falls right into the heart of that, of what happened in Kenosha. And how should this be viewed and what should the jury ultimately decide? And we have no way to know other than to be a fly on the wall in that room. But it is interesting some of what they've asked to see. Sometimes when you look at that and you mull over the fate, because remember the burden of proof, you look over the fate of Rittenhouse in this case and you look at what they're looking at and it's going to be that self-defense versus, as the defense attorney said, the descriptions of him being an active shooter that he said were out of bounds, and the prosecutors insisting that it wasn't about that at all, that it was about him going there with an agenda. So the burden of proof, of course, is on the prosecution. So how will this all fall out at the end of the week, maybe heading into next week. I don't think it goes further than that as we jump into the middle of the Thanksgiving holiday. You may be going somewhere for the Thanksgiving holiday, and I got to give you this warning here at the top as we take a break from all that makes us furious. You could be furious if you're stuck on planes that are going nowhere because it looks like there is some wicked weather that could hit the Northeast, so travel could be affected. And, you know, a lot of coulds are being thrown in there, but you look at the weather system, and it's not that far out of bounds to think you may see some rain, snow, ice mixed in, and then that means potential cancellations. In fact, it looks like a weather bomb hanging over the Northeast. But we're still a week away from where that heavy travel occurs, which most of that will happen on Wednesday, the day before Thanksgiving, but certainly throughout the week. Some people take the whole week off. Hey, one thing that's supposed to happen and the weather would affect that, especially if we're talking about the Northeast being affected, is the Baby Yoda balloon debut. I got to give you some levity at the top of this, right? So you know who Baby Yoda is, right? Grogu. And it made its debut at the Macy's Balloon Fest in Queens on the 13th. And it's so odd to see this giant Baby Yoda with eyes that are about the size of my block. But this is the newest balloon in the Macy's Day Brigade, which are supposed to be live crowds in New York City. But, of course, the weather could wreak havoc with that, especially if you have high winds, because if you got high winds, then they have to cancel the balloons. Maybe not the parade, but they cancel the balloons. All right, speaking of traveling and getting somewhere, the airline problems obviously are definitely not behind us. A Southwest Airlines employee had to be hospitalized after getting punched in the head by a passenger on a flight that took off from Dallas Love Field. The Dallas Police Department said the passenger boarded the flight right before 1 o'clock in the afternoon over the weekend and had a verbal altercation with the operations agent after being asked to exit the plane. When the passenger was getting off, she allegedly had another argument with a different agent, and then the passenger punched them in the head. So, come on. Of course, you're going to get taken into custody, and you're going to get charged with aggravated assault for doing that. Ooh. You know, you just wonder, what are you thinking? So now you have this person who is trying to clarify what happened. I mean, what led to a punch in the face? You know, back a couple of months ago, we were talking about another Southwest Airlines flight attendant who suffered something similar. Gosh, all this violence. Oh, what is going on with people? I think that the frustrations of the day have just bubbled over, and for some, it's been incredibly tough to pedal it back. I mean, if you're losing your mind, don't get on a plane because you are sure to get frustrated by some of the things that could happen and throw a monkey wrench into your flying plans. Nothing is certain these days when you go to the airport, right? You're driving there. You don't know what you're going to encounter when you get in the lines or when you get on a plane. And if you're feeling a little edgy, that is definitely not the time to jump on one of those suckers, especially with the holidays coming up. All right, enough of the lecture. I am off the soapbox, and we're back at it on the flip side. I'll meet you there.
Folks, looks like food shortages are here and gonna stick around. Supply chains are breaking down, and inflation is back with a vengeance. It's all part of the shortage economy. What used to be unthinkable is now in the headlines. Are you ready? Do you currently have a stockpile of emergency food at home? If not, go to MyPatriotSupply.com today, and you'll find an emergency food kit that's right for you and your family. My Patriot Supply is the largest preparedness company in America, serving millions of families like yours. Pick up a 3-month food kit that stays fresh for up to 25 years in proper storage. The meals in the kit provide over 2,000 delicious calories a day. That's important when you need to survive. Order from MyPatriotSupply.com and your food will ship fast in unmarked boxes to protect your privacy. Don't wait for permission or more empty store shelves. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com now. MyPatriotSupply.com.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
Hey, it's Kate Delaney. We have breaking news from Facebook's founder and CEO, Mark Zuckerberg. Listen to what Mark has to say.
It is time for us to adopt a new company brand to encompass everything that we do. To reflect who we are and what we hope to build, I am proud to announce that starting today, our company is now Meta. Our mission remains the same, still about bringing people together. Our apps and their brands, they're not changing either. And we are still the company that designs technology around people.
Meta builds technologies that help people find communities, connect, and grow businesses. Remember when Facebook launched in 2004, it changed the way people connect. Apps were created like Messenger, Instagram, and WhatsApp. Now Meta is moving beyond 2D screens toward immersive experiences like augmented and virtual reality to help build the next evolution in social technology. To unlock more opportunities, go to Meta.com.
Yeah, you may need a cold one for this. There's a couple of things, including what's happening with this vaccine mandate. What are the rules on this? As the kind of the line keeps on moving. And then this new social welfare bill that is estimated, I sat down with the accounting brains to crunch a few numbers, that's estimated to raise taxes 30% on the middle class, but actually slice and dice them for the millionaires. So what happened? That was supposed to be flipped in the other direction. All right, first to the vaccine mandate. So the fate of this COVID-19 vaccine mandate for private employers is definitely active. Republican officials in 27 states, employers in several business organizations filed challenges to the mandate in a bunch of federal courts before the U.S. Occupational Safety and Health Administration released the deets on the emergency rule November 4th, if you remember. Several unions filed challenges in other federal courts saying that it doesn't go far enough. But anyway, the cases are going to be consolidated because that's how they do it under one of the circuit courts in a decision that we could see pretty soon. And as I say that, there was even a headline that said something like ping pong balls could determine the fate of it, because that's how they do it. They have whatever direction the ping pong ball goes, however it bounces, as they consolidate, that's where they make that, you know, that's where they make that decision on where. So which federal court ends up with a case could determine, let's face it, whether the requirement gets thrown out, which is big, for the businesses that filed, or it doesn't. The New Orleans 5th U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals, for example, where a majority of justices were nominated by Republicans, issued a ruling putting the mandate on hold, right? So if you look at that, if you look at some of the studies that have been published, there has been some partisanship, if you will, in federal judicial decisions. I know, shocking, isn't it? Are you kidding? Who is completely oblivious to the fact that that doesn't happen? I'm just saying. Anyway, this study that was done at William & Mary Law School found that rulings on cases in which all judges in a circuit weighed in generally were not decided along party lines based on the presidents who appointed the judges, right? But then they see a spike in a different direction. So we can't say that it doesn't matter where this goes, what court hears it, because of course it does. And when we look at that, and we look at Louisiana, for example, and Louisiana and 11 more states are talking about, you know, what about these mandates? You know, what are we going to do? They're all jumping in on this. So it's been this coalition of about a dozen states, I guess. And it's led by Jeff Landry, who's the Louisiana Attorney General. He filed a suit against the administration's COVID-19 vax mandate for employees, volunteers, contractors who work at healthcare facilities that get federal dollars, right? So along with a lawsuit that was announced on Monday by the Missouri Attorney General Eric Schmidt, Landry's suit brings the number, I think, to 22 of Republican-led states that have taken the Biden administration to court over the order impacting all facilities that get Medicare or Medicaid funding, right? So what the lawsuits say is the vaccine mandate will not only jeopardize funding for critical health care facilities, but create a shortage of trained and qualified health pros. In Louisiana, a quarter of the state's population is on Medicare and Medicaid, a quarter. So the annual funding is $16 million. So all of this is incredibly important. If you think of the people who are just sitting there waiting for whatever ultimately this decision will be, the fate of it will affect them as they are waiting to see what happens in these cases, and they are definitely dependent on what they get from Medicaid, you know, Medicare. I mean, obviously, it's huge when you look at it from that perspective. And then you look at the taxes, and the pledge was, remember, not to raise taxes on people making less than $400,000. House Democrats saying that they're going to pay for the expansion of, you know, the federal safety net. How are they going to do that? Well, the pledge of the $400,000 is out the window, apparently, because there was an analysis done by the Joint Committee on Taxation. So if we're looking at what's on tap, it could be that you might be tapped for more money. So this special congressional panel made up of 10 lawmakers from both chambers of Congress found that people making above $200,000, do you fall into that category, which depending on where you live, maybe is not, people sometimes look at the number like, oh, $200,000. Yeah, try California and how many kids and what is your monthly net? $200,000 would see their tax burden increase. So the Joint Committee includes three Dems from the House Ways and Means panel who helped author the tax changes meant to pay for this $3.5 trillion spending package. And according to the report, the biggest hit would be felt by taxpayers with incomes of more than $1 million annually. But if you're in that $200,000, it would also jump. Now, remember, that $3.5 trillion got pulled apart, but there is still more conversation about those programs and making them in smaller pieces. If the smaller pieces all get passed, doesn't it add up to the same thing, close to 3.5 trillion? It's called tricky math, right? If the tricky math works out, if the tricky math somehow works out, then you would see your tax burden jump by more than 10% by 2023. I mean, if all that happens, again, if these pieces, because remember the infrastructure passed because it was done piecemeal, because it was pulled out like it should have been, but what about the rest of that, the rest of the agenda? So it could be that you end up seeing a tax increase that you were not expected to see. But again, we don't know yet at this point, because I think some of that, what the desire is to pass, some of that might get held up. So if that's held up, then maybe it doesn't happen. But there's a whole lot of maybes and could, and I think everything in between. You know what it's called? It's called red tape. And it's called, a lot of things are buried in red tape, right? It is rules accelerated that you don't realize that are happening right before your eyes. And then who is the burden on ultimately, if that's the case? Here's another thing that's on tap that is infuriating. I mean, look, it's turned into brawls at school board meetings, and that is ridiculous, right? You can't have, even if you're wildly divided, you can't have a civil conversation. But I certainly think this is ridiculous. A whistleblower in the Biden administration came forward on Tuesday to claim that the Attorney General Merrick Garland lied to Congress when he testified in October that the FBI isn't targeting parents protesting school board meetings. That shouldn't be. You shouldn't get tagged no matter what. So in response, Senator Josh Hawley from Missouri called for Garland to return to Capitol Hill to answer for the allegations. He said that the whistleblower's allegations show parents are getting the domestic terrorist treatment from the administration. And, of course, Garland said, no, we wouldn't treat them like domestic terrorists. And he said, we're not going to do that. Now we know that the counterterrorism division has been tracking parents, is what they're saying. I mean, that's not right. There was an email related to that showed that they were drawing up a list of crimes that they could potentially charge parents with. Now, that part of that isn't right. The brawl's not good, but tagging parents, and that's verbal brawls, tagging you that way, that's definitely, definitely out of bounds and should absolutely be thrown out. Stay with us.
Have you ever thought about turning your Glock, XD family, or 1911 handgun into a semi-automatic carbine? It only takes about 30 seconds. The MechTech Carbine Upper is classified as an accessory and can be delivered right to your doorstep with no FFL or background check required. It's the world's most versatile pistol accessory. Build your custom upper today. Simply go to handgunconversion.com. That's handgunconversion.com.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
USA Radio News. I'm Brad Bernards. Black Lives Matter is protesting outside of the Kenosha, Wisconsin courthouse as jurors sequester to decide the fate of teen shooter Kyle Rittenhouse. BLM activists threaten violence if the verdict does not find the teen guilty. Around
around 500 National Guard soldiers are on standby in Kenosha in preparation for a verdict in the Kyle Rittenhouse case this week as they prepare for possible large protests. Judge Bruce Schroeder retired the jury for the evening around 5:50 p.m. Central Time after the first day of deliberations in the trial of Kyle Rittenhouse. They will report back to the courthouse on Wednesday morning to resume deliberations at 9 a.m. Central Time. This is USA Radio News. Coronavirus cases are rising again, albeit slowly. Dr. Anthony Fauci, the chief medical advisor to the president and the director of the National Institute of Allergy and Infectious Diseases, spoke with Ted Koppel on CBS Sunday morning. Dr. Fauci told Koppel that there is a misplaced perception about people's rights superseding societal safety.
This misplaced perception about people's individual right to make a decision that supersedes the societal safety. That, to me, is one of the things that I think went awry in all of this.
U.S. Navy sailors who refuse to comply with the coronavirus vaccine mandate will be discharged and could face other administrative actions. U.S. Navy policy is to process for separation all Navy service members who refuse the lawful order to receive the COVID-19 vaccination and do not have an approved exemption, the Navy said in a statement. This is USA Radio News.
Stop aging now. Restore those joints. Boost your strength. Because it's official. NutraMedical has released the most exciting, powerful anti-aging supplement on the market. Dr. Bill Deagle's Red Deer Velvet DR has been approved by the U.S. Patent Office. Imagine stem cell rejuvenation all in one capsule without huge expense. Dr. Bill MD discovered that as an unborn baby grows in the mother's womb, he or she does not deteriorate or physically age. Red Deer Velvet DR, like the uterus, provides 300 biomolecules and 6 hormones protected in one special DR capsule that delivers lipid packages directly into your circulation. This patented technology bypasses the stomach and is released into the small bowel unaltered by digestive enzymes and stomach acid. Remember, Red Deer Velvet DR. Improve endurance, stimulate your immune system, increase learning ability, and even improve sexual libido with Red Deer Velvet DR. Click NutriMedical.com. That's NutriMedical.com. Or call toll-free 888-212-8871 and get on the road to a newer, rejuvenated, happier you.
This is something you want to pay attention to. He's in our virtual green room right now. What do we all have in common? Our health. My grandmother used to tell me when I was little and I was healthy, the only thing that matters, kid, is your health. But who is looking out for you? Dr. Ira Williams is. He's written 2 books about this subject, and he is a fighter. As an oral surgeon, he put it all on the line, and we're going to explain that in a second. He's got 2 books. The Solution No One Else Is Talking About, Find the Black Box, Prevent Needless Hospital Deaths. Scary, right? Even in the title. Healthcare Warriors, Why and How to Become One. If more people become healthcare warriors, more voices will be heard, and maybe there will be more change. Dr. Williams, what a pleasure to have you on the show. Thanks so much.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Let's talk about what happened to you. In a nutshell, tell us what happened to you and put you on this path of writing these 2 books and becoming such an advocate, as you wanted to be an oral surgeon and you got into practice. Then what happened?
Well, I was practicing outpatient oral. I'm a board certified oral and maxillofacial surgeon. I was in Madison, Wisconsin, just practicing like the other oral surgeons in town, when unfortunately I had a series of cases where I became the second surgeon, one of the worst things that can happen to any surgeon. I had to surgically correct malpractice errors in a series of patients in all 3 private hospitals. And in the first case in the late 70s, I tried to the patient had been treated for a simple jaw fracture. And the 2 surgeons, they happened to be brothers, believe it or not, had spent 4 months, and when I happened to see her at the end of that 4 months, she was worse off than when they first started. She had non-healing, low infection. I called her first surgeon, and she went to see him. He called me back and said, how would you treat it? I told him, and he said, we can't do that. Will you treat her? So I accepted to become her second surgeon and treated her, and then I initiated a full at every level peer review system in that hospital, going up through the entire medical staff, the administrator who was a nun, and the governing board of nuns in St. Louis, and they all circled the wagons. And they all said they didn't do anything wrong. They didn't do anything right for 4 months. And so when she and her husband finally got an attorney, the attorney asked me if I would testify. And I was left with a dilemma. Do I perform as I'm professionally swore I would, or do I accept the code of silence? And I knew if I didn't testify, I would have to sell my soul. And I couldn't do that. And after that case, I had two more cases. So I was a second surgeon in extreme medical malpractice, surgical malpractice in all three private hospitals in Madison, Wisconsin in the late 70s and early 80s. And ended up in all three cases, it was horrible care. I had to go to great extreme to correct the problems. I ended up testifying. I broke the code of silence, and I ended up being the bad guy. They economically ran me out of Madison, Wisconsin in 1990. And when my marriage ended in early 2000, I said, well, I've been thinking about writing a book. And I started writing. I've written 4 books. My first 2 books, the publishers went out of business. But my more recent books, Find the Black Box, Prevent Needless Hospital Deaths, was self-published in 2013. And I re-released it early this year as a second edition with a 2020 preface. I name names: Nikki Haley, Dr. Robert Pearl, Medicare. I was in the headquarters of Medicare, Medicaid outside Baltimore the first week of March last year in the office of their chief of medical staff. And in my second book, Healthcare Warriors, my target audience is activists in any state who would like to create an organization like MAD, Mothers Against Drunk Driving, and invite me to come and show them how to begin to be effective in creating change where they live. I know how to do that.
And so when people read these books, you hope that they become enlightened, right? What do you hope their takeaway is from reading, you know, either of these books, but hopefully both of them?
All right. Here's some important things about that, Kate. Number one, my books are not just a book to read, because the experts say you'll forget what you read in 60 to 90 days. My books are tools to help people better understand their healthcare delivery system and why it's never become what it should become. And the second thing, Healthcare Warriors, if you want to create a better healthcare delivery system, you got to do it at the state level. I want to give you some fundamental facts about the healthcare delivery system. Assume for a minute you've been in a horrible accident. You're placed in an ambulance, unconscious, and they rush you to a medical center. You need the care from at least 3 different surgeons, an orthopedic surgeon, a general surgeon, maybe a chest surgeon. You're going to come out. They're going to give you great service. In the end, you're going to fully recover. You may have to go to a surgery center a few weeks later to get some pins removed or something. All right. What are the fundamental facts about that? You just had local medical care from doctors and nurses licensed by the state in a hospital or medical center licensed by the state, and you may have to go to a surgery center licensed by the state. States are where you must begin to create a 21st century healthcare delivery system, and I know how to do that.
So do it on the state level, because all the states are different, obviously. And if you want to, if you want that change, so that you're right, it is personal. When something happens, that's when it changes for everybody, right?
Well, when you get care, you're getting care from doctors that are licensed by the state.
Yeah, exactly.
In a hospital or surgery center licensed by the state.
Yeah.
And yet I am the only healthcare expert in the country that has been focused on the state responsibility. The only one. That's why the other experts don't want to talk to me.
Because they don't want to open that Pandora's box, huh?
They don't want to admit they ignore or fail to recognize that key element in trying to create a better system.
Yeah.
For 30 years, in 1989, after 4 years of research, a group of experts from the Harvard School of Public Health estimated 98,000 needless hospital deaths annually.
Wow.
Every new estimate since has been greater. Every time they take an estimate, it gets bigger. But Dr. Marty McCurry, a surgeon at Johns Hopkins, published a paper 5 years ago suggesting that medical errors are the third leading cause of death behind heart disease and cancer, and not an eye blinked in D.C. and not an eye blinked in any state capital. And that should scare the blank out of you.
Boy, I so agree with it. Is it satisfying or gratifying for you that you took the path where you weren't going to do that code of silence, that you saw things that weren't right now,
well,
these many years later?
It ended up costing me my marriage because I was put out of business. I was making over $300,000 a year in 1980. And I knew if I broke the code of silence, I would pay the price. I would not sell my soul. I couldn't do the code of silence. I was the second surgeon. I knew all the details, and I knew what I had to do to correct the problem. And I did that in three different cases in all three private hospitals.
Wow, good for you. We need more people like you, Dr. Williams, for sure.
I am a whistleblower about medical malpractice and about medical peer review and what's always been wrong with the current system.
Yep, Dr. Ira Williams, powerful stuff. Again, the solution no one else is talking about, find the black box, prevent needless hospital deaths. And you heard those staggering statistics that you just talked about. Healthcare Warriors, Why and How to Become One. You can get these books on Amazon or Barnes & Noble. Doctor, thanks so much for coming on.
Hey, I appreciate the opportunity. And by the way, Ted Med has rejected me twice. No, I guess nobody wants to hear a contrarian tell them how to really begin to start to create a far better system.
We need more people like you that are willing to rattle the fences, rattle the people that don't really want to hear it. Like you said, battling the code of silence. Thanks, Doc.
Hey, thanks, Kate. I appreciate it.
Minding my business, went out of an orange colored sky.
Flash, flash, how a good flash.
Wonderful, you came by. I was humming a tune, drinking in sunshine, went out of that orange colored view.
Flash, flash, how a good flash.
I got a look at you.
Hey, it's Kate Delaney. We have breaking news from Facebook's founder and CEO, Mark Zuckerberg. Listen to what Mark has to say.
It is time for us to adopt a new company brand to encompass everything that we do. To reflect who we are and what we hope to build, I am proud to announce that starting today, our company is now Meta. Our mission remains the same. still about bringing people together. Our apps and their brands, they're not changing either. And we are still the company that designs technology around people.
Meta builds technologies that help people find communities, connect, and grow businesses. Remember when Facebook launched in 2004, it changed the way people connect. Apps were created like Messenger, Instagram, and WhatsApp. Now Meta is moving beyond 2D screens toward immersive experiences like augmented and virtual reality to help build the next evolution in social technology. To unlock more opportunities, go to meta.com.
What if you could cut your heating bills this winter with your existing wood-burning fireplace and not spend thousands doing it? You can with Great Wall of Fire fireplace grates. Our U.S.-patented, made-in-America Wall of Fire grates increase fireplace efficiency, eliminate fireplace smoke problems, and come with a 30-day money-back guarantee. See our grates in action and get free shipping from wallofire.com or call 800-274-7364. Fireplace heat without fireplace smoke. Wallofire.com.
You've heard that supply lines are down or moving slow. And that most everything costs more these days. But good news. High-quality Sunny Bay products are in stock and ready to ship now because they're made in the USA. Like our extra-long neck heating pads. They provide soothing relief to painful sore necks and backs, are microwavable, and come in a variety of colors and patterns. What a great gift! An extra-long neck heating pad from Sunny Bay. Also available in lavender scented. Buy now in time for the holidays and avoid any shipping delays. Available on Amazon, Walmart, Etsy, and sunny-bay.com. Just search for Sunny Bay Heating Pad. They're great for men or women, are reusable, and easy to clean. So, this year, give the gift of pain relief. An extra long neck wrap from Sunny Bay. Remember, just search for Sunny Bay Heating Pads. Order now when our stock is high and shipping is fast. And happy holidays from Sunny Bay.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions. SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
So pleased to take you to Sydney, Australia for a conversation with Karen Lee. Boy, she has written a book that will take you away. I think it's a great escape. I really do. Blue Scorpion, Last Flight of the Ancients. Karen, thanks so much for coming on.
Thank you so much for your time, Kate.
So let's talk about putting this book together. And how long was it kind of rolling around in your head? And then how did you decide, you know what, I got to write this?
Yeah. Look, the story has been building in various ways over the course of about 15 years. So elements of the story would come and it would just tell itself to me. And then I'd write a little bit and then you hit your writer's block and I'll go away, think about it more, and then come back to it again. So on and off, it has been a journey of probably about 15 years of elements of the story coming to me.
I love it. So you take those elements and you put the story together and tell us about the story. What's the story about? And tell us about some of the characters.
Great. Now, I'll probably step back a little bit and tell you what got the story inspired in the first place. The thing that launched it off into the ether, so to speak. So it's actually a story that is embedded in the poem that is the prologue to the story, is a story that when I was in Hong Kong doing, as children do at those times, you get Chinese tutoring, and I was the student that liked to distract my tutor by by initiating different conversation topics. And so it happened that one of these topics was ghost stories. My tutor actually told me this story, and it stuck with me in a way that nothing else stuck with me. So that was, the story goes like this. There was once upon a time in ancient China, in a village that's very remote, very poor, where people were sort of placed very far away, so you don't necessarily know your neighbours. A woman who was very poor and very sick, she gave birth, and unfortunately she passed away. Now, there's a nearby village started getting some visitors. This particular visitor after dark is this gaunt, pale lady who would come in around midnight. She'd come to the counter, wouldn't say a word, put down the money and indicate that she wanted to get a sack of flour. Now, in the morning, the shopkeeper opened up his drawers to, you know, count his takings of the night and discovered that he was short the exact amount that the woman had paid the previous night, and there was a whole bunch of dust in his drawers. Where he kept his money. Now, after a couple of nights of this, it sort of tweaked and, hang on a second, correlation, woman, come in here, I'm missing takings, what's going on? And so he went to his village elders and said, hey, got an issue, what should I do? And one of the elders actually said to him, look, you know, just play it cool. When the woman comes in to get her sack of flour, put a pinprick, a hole at the bottom of that sack of flour. What that will do is actually leave a trail so that we can follow it in the morning and let's see if we can get to the bottom of this. So that's what he did. Woman came in, bought a sack of flour, and not realizing that the shopkeeper had actually put a pinprick of a hole in the bottom of that sack. And so as she left trail. And the very next morning, the elders, the shopkeeper, all got together and started following the trail to the house of this woman who had long deceased and a healthy baby. Sitting and playing near her mother's body. And that is the springboard into the story. That baby, who she was, what she got up to, the identity of that woman, and that's sort of where the idea sprung from. And that the whole story is about the adventure of that baby now grown up, finding the keys to her identity, finding the keys to her calling and her destiny.
Wow. There's so much imagery in that, that it just, you paint a mental picture. There's no question. After writing this, did you have a favorite character? Was there a character that you liked the best or nah?
Well, it's kind of like asking a parent if they have a favorite kid. yes and no. I think the reality is there's always one character that that sort of tells itself more fully, that character just takes shape. Obviously, the main character, Ivana, is a key element to that story. But one of the, you say, a supporting character, so to speak, would be Sir Matthias. And that is a character that comes in sort of midway through the novel, but he finds that he's quite intertwined with Ivana and her I guess, her journey in a way that's really synergistic, dynamic, and they have a lot of fun along the way.
Oh, that's key, the fun. So tell the listeners, you know, your book, of course, you can get on Amazon, et cetera, Barnes & Noble, wherever great books are sold, Blue Scorpion, Last Flight of the Ancients. What do you hope they take away? What do you hope readers take away from reading, you know, looking at your book, reading your book?
Well, first of all, I hope they have fun and come along for the journey. I had a lot of fun writing it, and I hope that that comes through in the book. I think the themes of friendship, of journey, of destiny, of calling, and of identity all work through the novel in a way as I explore some of these things through the story. So maybe, you know, and what each person gets will be very different. Their story will intertwine with that story. And it's a magical discovery process. That's why we love reading.
I love that. Hashtag magical discovery process. Blue Scorpion, Last Flight of the Ancients, Karen Lee. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much for your time, Kate.
All right, what an interesting story from Karen Lee. What I like about Karen that I thought was interesting is that she was raised in Australia, but she was born in Hong Kong. And when you get her book, you can see her little bio on the back of her book. But we talked off the air. She lives in Sydney, of course. And she's always liked to write. You know, I understand that because I always like to write. She likes to write and she likes to read and that whole idea of wanting to find the good story, the good book. So imagine, I think it's so cool when authors do what they did when they were young. So in other words, they're from the time they were a kid, they're picking up books and they're kind of doodling around and scribbling out ideas. And then to actually see a story from end to end come to life and get that inspiration and do it. And one of the lines in her bio that I thought was great, this is so me, although I constantly get interrupted, I don't know if she does too, is to sit down with a great book and with a very good, strong cup of coffee and a great view and just get lost in that incredible story. And she's got a great story here, a really fascinating story, because it takes you on a couple of different twists and turns. And to me, that's what I think is interesting, is when it's not predictable, when you're not really sure. You kind of have an idea, you think that you know where it's going, but then you realize, oh yeah, that's not exactly what I thought was going to happen. And I think that her book, Blue Scorpion, Last Flight of the Ancients, really takes you on that. I mean, you go on an unexpected journey that you just, I don't think, could have predicted. So anyway, thanks to Karen Lee, and thanks to all of you for listening to not only this interview, but the show. Make it count, everybody.
Hey guys, why settle for poor quality Powdy Arco that's sold by stores and online resellers when you can get Tahibo Tea Club's original pure Powdy Arco Super Tea at drinksupertea.com or 818-965-9113. The Tahibo Tea Club's original pure Powdy Arco Super Tea is only available at drinksupertea.com. 818-965-9113. 818-965-9113. That's drinksupertea.com.
Do you feel like you're doing what you were made for? Do you love what you do? Do you feel inspired or at least pretty happy most days? In my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, Increase Your Odds, Win Big and Become Extraordinary, I share the secrets that rock stars share with me from the business world, people like Sir Richard Branson, or sports hall of famers like former Cowboy great Emmitt Smith. All of them had one thing in common. They paid attention to their gut, followed their dreams, and didn't listen to the critics. George Eliot says it's never too late to be who you might have been. Pick up a copy of Deal Your Own Destiny on Amazon today.